Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
So today we're going to be talking about why come to Kyiv, why you should visit, what will probably happen inevitably when you do visit, you'll want to stay, like we ended up staying. How to maximize your time for a visit or for a stay, and just some local insider tips, and also comparing Ukraine to other Western countries from a man's point of view, and we'll see what else we get into as well.
Yeah, should be fun.
Yoni is a very prolific I guess you could call yourself a party planner, promoter, nightlife expert, host.
We don't know now because of the because of the quarantine. So we're reinventing ourselves from zero. But yeah, before the quarantine, we were working mainly in tourism, and from that, there's the other thing is the promoting nightclubs and then throwing our own parties, throwing our own events, and stuff like that. But
first of all, how'd you end up in Ukraine, Kyiv?
Well, it's a funny story, and I tell it every time. One of my friends were setting up a company here, and he was basically doing like their setting up shop here. And he was bothering me. He's like, bro, you have to come here. You have to see this place. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, oh, yeah. And he's like, no, you don't understand. You have to come here. You have to see this. I'm like, what is it to see? Kyiv? Where is Kyiv? What is it?
You were living in Canada at the time.
No, I was living back in Israel.
Okay.
I was Israel, Canada, back to Israel.
Got it.
It's like a three-hour flight. And he's like, bro, just jump on a plane, come here for a day or two, and you'll see. I'm like, I don't know what Kyiv is. Let's meet in Ibiza. Let's meet, in Mykonos. Let's go somewhere fun. They're like, no, you have to see it. And then my mistake, I was, doing a trip in Europe, and I was like, okay, I'll stop by for a day. I stopped by for a day. It was mid-September, like it is right now, and I was like, wow. I was in shock. I'm like, you motherfucker, why you never told me about this place before? just amazing. It's like the streets, the calmness, the food, the restaurants, and of course the girls. The girls are here. Every 10 meters you walk, there's a beautiful girl that you can only see on a runway in Milano on the fashion week. And ever since then I fell in love. I was coming back and forth for about a year, and then I was like, I just have to stay here. And how do I do it? And
it's depressing if you go home, because like if you're constantly out going to parties, just walking around on the street, seeing beautiful girls, and that is normal. When you go back, and the new normal is
the more you come here, the more you get depressed when you're going back. Yeah. Because once you come here the first time, you're like, okay, maybe I was in a good mood, maybe it was a special weekend. You don't know. The second time you come in, you're like, whoa, this is even better than last time. But maybe I'm still, high on some kind of fumes in the streets or something like that. And then the more you go, and then eventually, the reason I decided to move here is because when I was going back to Israel, it was like torture. I was like sitting at home, not doing anything, just thinking about my next trip to Ukraine.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. And that's why I decided, I was sitting with myself and thinking what to do. And I'm like, okay, the thing that I do every time I come to Ukraine, let's do that for people that don't know how to find places, people that don't speak the language. And that's how we started with this whole tourism thing.
To essentially set up a way for guys to come from Israel and enjoy Kyiv for the first time.
We set up a way after they come here, mm-hmm. what they're going to do.
Right.
So we started off with just like...
Where to stay, what to do, where to eat,
renting
where
apartments,
to party.
Making transfers from the airports, having like personal drivers, which is very cheap here. You can rent a personal driver to be with you like for the whole day for $100. It's like mind-blowing. And then we put all that into packages, and then we start selling packages of having, like, you know, like, you know, certain days with certain services, and would, you know, people would just pay that money ahead of time and just wouldn't have to worry about anything, about no clubs, about transfers, about anything. They would just come here and just have fun.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just making a note for later to bring something up. But for me, I'll briefly tell my story. I came to Kiev for the first time in 2015, went to Odessa during the summer. I was like, am I in Disneyland? This is ridiculous. And I had traveled other places, even in like central Eastern Europe. I'd been to Budapest, I'd been to Belgrade, Serbia, which I like both those places a lot. But everyone kept saying, you got to go to Ukraine, you got to go to Ukraine. And finally, after traveling in the summer, every summer since 2012 in Europe, it's like, fine, I'll go to Ukraine. But I was a little scared, you know, there was all this talk about how Ukraine was dangerous and it's this, it's that, and there's a revolution. You know, I showed up and I felt more safe than anywhere I'd ever been in the world. Like, it was, you know, not even for a second have I ever felt like in danger. And I'll walk around at 3-4 in the morning.
Anywhere. They like, say in the neighborhoods, you're anywhere. It's like nobody will even talk to you.
So, you know, that was kind of the mentality from where I was from, you know, on the west coast of the U.S., L.A., San Diego area. But when I came, I ended up going to Odessa. I met a buddy, or I met a guy who later became a good friend. He convinced me, you have to come to Kiev. He was like, Odessa's like the L.A. of Ukraine, and Kiev's like the New York, which isn't totally true, I think, you know.
I don't even think they're different. I think it's Kiev is Odessa on steroids.
Yeah,
like in any
in the
day.
Summer, Odessa's fun, but all year
to
Kiev
get
is
away
fun.
From Kiev for a few days,
right.
It's fun to go to Odessa because it's a little.
People that live here think, "Wow, it's the sea," but it's really nothing special. It's the Black Sea. It's not like you're going to, you know,
Malibu. It's alright to change scenery and still staying in Ukraine. That's what I. That's what
exactly.
We do.
4-hour drive. It's like LA to Vegas.
Yeah,
you know. So when I came to Kiev, I was like, "Wow, this city is amazing. The food's unbelievable. It's literally 75% cheaper than New York. You know, you go out for a nice meal, you and I are going to spend like a nice meal, where a 3-course meal, 4-course meal, what are we going to spend? 15, 20 bucks a head, right? Yeah, New York, we're spending
in the
higher end, yeah.
For a business lunch, which a 3-course meal, you pay, what, 120 hryvnia?
Yeah, business lunch, they have this thing called business lunch where you basically go to any restaurant, you ask for the business lunch menu, which is a prefix menu,
a drink,
a soup or a salad, a main course, dessert.
$4,
yeah. You can go to the nicest steakhouse, and it's $12. Yeah. And you get a huge steak or a huge piece of salmon.
Like,
it's unbelievable. It's like totally mind-blowing. And the quality is amazing. They don't even have to really worry about organic shit here because everything's organic.
Yeah, exactly. and the thing is, when you think about food in Eastern Europe, usually you have this bad association. Like when I go to Romania, for example, all I eat is McDonald's and KFC or whatever they have there. When I go to like Budapest and stuff like that, like the food, like only like the, I only eat the McDonald's basically anywhere in Eastern Europe. But here the food is like, wow, it's amazing. It's healthy. It looks healthy. It's fresh, very fresh. The tomatoes here have a taste, not like in LA where you guys are living. It's the food here is really like very surprisingly good.
Yeah, the food's top notch. In terms of just affordability for, you know, hotels, vacation rentals, you can get a really nice place on Airbnb for $50 a night. Now during quarantine, everything's open, so it's like $30 a night.
Yeah.
Like 11 Mirrors Hotel, which is the nicest like boutique art hotel in the city, will run you.
They're actually called the best boutique hotel in Europe, actually.
Yeah, and that'll run you $150-$200 a night.
Amazing hotel.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And Kiev, you know, and all of Ukraine is beautiful. It's filled with history.
And it's the biggest country in Europe. You got everything here. You have the Carpathian Mountains. You have the Black Sea. You have the Azov Sea. You have the islands here. You have the delta there. You have the, they have a pink goddamn lake.
The pink lake. Yeah,
they have a salt lake here. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about the Dead Sea in Israel, but they have like a Dead Sea right here. I haven't been to any, like, you know, I didn't have
time. I was close to it on, I just got back from a road trip around eastern Ukraine for about a month and a half, and we thought about going to the Pink Sea. The Rozovoy More, I think it's called, yeah. But,
It's got everything here. Everything in possible. There's Bukovel skiing. There's, you know, sea resorts in the south.
If you like to smoke shisha, it's the best shisha. Forget about Turkey. Forget about Israel. Forget about... The shisha is the best here. Like, every restaurant...
They come from Israel to smoke shisha.
Yeah.
And from Turkey, they come to smoke shisha here.
You might get hooked on it, but... Yeah.
It's something like that. Like, even the Arabs, they don't know how to make shisha as good as they make it here. And they sell shisha here everywhere.
But of course, the number one reason to come is the women. Like,
hands down.
It's like we
can't even
no place on earth. I hate that we're even like publicizing this thing.
We're shooting ourselves in the leg.
Yeah, creating more competition for ourselves. But so why what is it about Ukraine, and why is there, so first of all, there's a crazy ratio. There's way more women than men here.
In Kyiv, especially, it's at least three girls to one guy, at least.
No, it's not that bad. It's 125 women to 100 men. But when you break that down,
bro,
you're talking about in a nightclub. You're talking about on the street, of course, it's not 3-1 men.
You have to understand, because there's official censuses, or uh-huh. whatever they call.
Yeah.
And there's the what's...
If you're talking about beautiful women towards guys, yeah, 3-1.
I'm talking about their system of counting people here is from the Soviet times. They mm-hmm. don't know how many people live in the city.
Right.
They're saying official 4 million, unofficial. In fact, there's about 7 million people living here. But what you have to understand is that the local guys, a lot of them go to work abroad. Mm-hmm. They're still registered in the city, but they're not physically here.
And why do they do that? Just to make more money?
Yeah, I make more money in Poland and stuff like that, getting paid in euros and right. whatever. At the same time, there's so many universities in the city. Think about it. There's like, what, 50 universities, 100 universities?
Yeah.
All these girls from all over Ukraine are coming here to study in the university. They're mm-hmm. not registered residents here.
What about the guys? Where are they studying?
I don't think guys study here.
It'd be interesting to see the data on...
There's no data. You know, that's one of the things.
Right.
But in fact, in September, and when you walk the streets now, It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, you see only girls, beautiful girls, and they go in herds. They were like from school.
People think like, oh, Ukraine is so cold. The weather is much more mild than New York City.
City here is
much
sweaty,
nicer than most of the weather in most of the places in, like, you know, the Northeast or East Coast. You know, it's a little bit hot in the summer, not too bad. In the winter, it's obviously cold. It snows a bit. But
even though last winter we didn't even have one day of snow, remember that?
Yeah,
it was very mild winter.
Very, very mild. And of course, during the spring and the fall, it's amazingly pleasant. 72 degrees most days. Yeah, or
actually,
18,
the best time here is the fall
Celsius.
And the spring.
Yeah.
Because summer actually gets really hot here. Like,
yeah, sorry, that's what I meant to say. This fall and spring.
Summer here was
yeah.
hot as hell.
You can go to Odessa in the summer, which
yeah.
most people do.
Yeah.
But so, you know, regardless of what the actual numbers are, it's completely mind-boggling in terms
like
of the ratio. You walk into a nightclub and nowhere else in the world, or maybe in Russia, but they'll turn hot girls away at venues because they're like, we have too many girls in here. We don't have any guys to pay for your
yeah.
drinks. We know you're not going to pay for them. So face control. Sorry. Goodbye. Face control. Face control is a nice way of saying, like, you're ugly, fuck off, or we don't have enough guys in here to support your drinks,
it's
fuck
the
off.
The biggest problem here is, like, and when the tourism is here, so it's okay because the tourist guys come and go out, and then there's the local girls hanging out, but like in usual, like right now at this time right now, like you go into a club, there's only girls. Like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. We were out last weekend at the floor nightclub, me and like, well, there was maybe 20 guys including the staff. Maybe I was like 200 girls. They just don't know what to do. Like, it's like crazy.
So you and I built, you know, big social circles here. We spend a lot of time in nightlife. We go out a lot, make lots of friends. You know, we've essentially maximized our social love life, sex life, whatever you want to call it. Not yet.
what I think this is it. This is it. The next week is just like another.
We're obviously not quite normal, you know. So
I would like to think of myself as a little bit of normal. I get not normal on the weekend.
Right. So what if an app? So let's take like as a case study, a programmer. You know, who lives in like Boston, you know, you've been out of school for 3 or 4 years, you're in your mid to late 20s,
you work online.
Now, of course, during Corona, you don't even report to the office. Yeah. You're probably making, you know, around 100K a year if you're a decent coder, programmer. Yeah. What does that guy's life look like versus the programmer who lives here?
Well, if we compare apples to apples, mm-hmm. Programmers here make a lot less money, but they still make.
But I know a lot of programmers who live here from the West that are still working for their. They didn't quit their job. They're still working for the same company.
Because you're saying right now you said sure. Local.
I'm talking about expats or people who.
All right. Yeah. So you're talking about the guy that's getting paid in America
or
lives in
Western
here.
Europe, right? Yeah. Or lives here.
Yeah, yep. In the West.
Right.
And he lives physically here, just gets his paycheck in that standard.
Yes.
I think it's at least 50% better. Mm-hmm. Well, not better, but like 50%.
He's spending 50% less.
50% less, and he's actually getting 100% more. So if you go pound for pound, whatever, like the restaurants that you eat here, the nightclubs that you go there, even apartments, the apartment that you rent here for the same money or like 50% less of what you rent in the States or in the West, you still would get a much better quality, much better.
Your quality of life is just unbelievably
with
better
not
here.
So much money, you live here like a king.
And not only that, if you actually live here, you qualify for the foreign income exclusion tax break, which is essentially that you get $100,000 free. Right now it's $105,340 or something like that. I just finished my taxes. That's why I know. So you don't have to pay taxes on that first 105K of income. So if you make 100,000, guess what your taxes are? Nothing. Versus in the US, you're paying what? 35% on that? 40% on that? 25%? So you're saving 30 to 50K, depending on, and you're spending 50% less.
Actually, I don't know why they don't like encourage that, and advertise it everywhere. If you work online and don't have to be living in any other place, come here.
Well, I think now it's gonna blow up because a lot of people, like I have buddies who work for Airbnb, Facebook, other big tech companies, where they no longer have to report to the office. They don't have to show up at the campus. They're keeping what they make, but now they can live wherever they want.
Yeah.
You would have to be a complete fool to stay in San Francisco where the ratio is the opposite of it is where it is here.
Rent
it's
is
filled with dude. Your rent for a shitty little box apartment, you're going to be paying 35 to 4 grand a month, 3,500 to 4
so
grand.
4 grand a month here, you can get a castle.
You could rent, it's insane what you could get here.
4,000 a month here, you get.
And there's actually girls everywhere. Yeah. And there's good food. And you don't pay taxes. It's like, what the?
And the weather is all right. And
it's better than San Francisco.
And all your bureaucracy, all your stuff is so much easier here. Like
there's no politics. There's no, you know.
Everything is like, so easy. Like so most of the times you don't even. So most of the times, most of the guys here for a few bucks will get a personal assistant. And she will do your errands all day. Like she will go here, there, like do your paperwork, do your whatever it's needed to get a. To get a very, very, very high-end personal assistant here, like a physical personal assistant, is like $500. Is like wow. And then
for the month, right?
For the month, yeah. And then she does everything, like make reservations, do this, go here.
Bring your girlfriends out to party.
it's amazing. Like everybody, every foreign guy that I know here, they have an assistant because it's just so much easier.
If you really want to like. Flash your wealth, the way to do it here is that personal security.
Yeah.
That's what, not that you ever need it because it's super safe, but that's what some of the oligarchs do. It's some of the ridiculous.
The oligarchs might actually need it, but there's some guys that come here for, you know, whatever, to hang out and they get security. security also is like $100 a day for a dude with a gun.
it's just an extra way to like peacock or whatever you want to say. But it's just mind-boggling the difference in the quality of life by simply moving.
Yeah.
You know, and most people won't do it because I can't leave my family or I can't be so far away. Meanwhile, like their family's in Florida and they're living in Boston, which is a 3-hour plane ride away.
Yeah, and they see him only once or twice a year.
Right. So what's the difference? Either it's 8 hours to Kiev from
up.
Florida, or it's 3 hours from Boston to Florida.
Look, getting up and making a decision is not an easy decision.
Yeah.
I'm so not, you know, couldn't be bothered with anything. So I just get up and leave. But so most people, it's a big barrier for them to do the move.
Yeah.
Once they do the move, they're like, they understand, but to actually making this getting up and leaving, it's a big thing.
Well, I feel like most guys also are overly risk averse. They don't do the math, even though a lot of these guys are math majors. They don't do the math, and they don't actually run the risks of all of these things. So you end up becoming like a fearful.
Yeah, they're saying, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if like something happens with my health? Let me tell you, here for a professional doctor to come to your house and do your like full check, whatever, prescribe your medication and like almost like do everything, it's $10 for a visit.
And you got this at $1,500 after $10
for a visit. I was feeling like a little bit sick one day, and my assistant is like, I'm gonna get you a doctor. I'm thinking in Israeli terms and the Canadian terms, to get a doctor in Israel is about $2,500, something like that, just for him to come see you.
Yeah.
I was like, no. She's like, I called you a doctor. Okay. I'm like, okay, how much do I have to pay? She's like, 250 grand. I almost fell. I almost fell from the
thing. $8. $10.
$10 bucks, like 20 to 270 is $10 to 250. It's crazy.
I hurt my foot playing hockey in LA a few years back, and I went to the hospital because the pain was so intense. And my hospital bill, nothing was broken. They took a couple x-rays. My hospital bill was $1,500. They sent me away with some pain meds, and I had to fight with them for months to try to get that reduced.
$1,500 for a thing,
and that's after insurance covered, and that's after insurance. So like, yeah, that's a big objection, like, oh, the healthcare.
The healthcare system there, well, you don't even need to go to the hospital here. There's private hospitals, there's private Medicare that for the locals maybe it's quite expensive, but for you especially making your money out, you know, not in the country, it's laughable. This cannot be, you know, like $10 for the doctor to come for 2 hours. You know, he drives, you know, he waits downstairs till you open the door, he comes in, he sets up his stuff, he talks to you, he's asking you for the symptoms. 2 hours he's spending for the whole thing. And
don't become a doctor in Ukraine.
No.
But the so
and another thing, thing is the family thing. All right, listen, today I have family in the States all over. I have a family in Canada all over. I have family in Israel all over. They learned today. You guys want to hang out with me? You guys want to see me? Come here. They have more fun than if we go and meet somewhere else. They actually save money by coming here.
Why would you not go to Disneyland when it's 90%?
My sister with her daughter, you know, they come visit here. They have a blast. You know, they go to parks here. They go to like all these kind of like malls for kids here. My grandparents come here. My mother would come here.
It's very kid friendly here as well. Good schooling system. There's parks built into every single development.
There's parks everywhere. There's parks on the roofs of buildings.
Yeah, it's like they're in playgrounds. It's crazy. Is there anything we didn't? We talked about the food. We talked about the girls. Yeah, we'll get into more about the girls because I'm sure most people have some questions around that. In terms of most countries in the world, especially most Western countries, you get 90 days. In a rolling 6-month window with your visa. So you can come from January through March, you could leave for the next 3 months, then you can come back for 3 months. So you could, if you wanted to, you could stay here for 6 months out of the year, not in a row, but 3 months on, three months off, three on. Yeah. You could keep doing that if you wanted. And keep in mind, you can also do that in Europe. So you could bounce between Poland and Ukraine.
Or anywhere else for that matter. Or Thailand, 3 months in Thailand, 3 months
right.
in
I'm just America. Saying Poland and Ukraine because one's EU, one's not. Yeah. And you could, without even having to get residency, you could live in Ukraine for 6 months in Poland.
But if you wanted residency, here's the easiest thing. For a year residency, it costs you about $1,000, give or take. Then you just renew it once every year.
You can go that route, which is essentially volunteering. Yeah. You don't actually have to volunteer, but you get a volunteer visa. And the other route you can go is you can open a company.
Yeah.
Which will, the company is just like a shell company. It doesn't have to operate. All you have to do is pay taxes on it. And that will cost you about $2,000, but it's good for 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit cheaper.
But also a little bit more time consuming as far as setting it up and this and that. I'm telling you, you have your company visa. Yeah. I have my volunteers visa. Nothing. Once a year, I go once. I hand in my old card, get my new card, that's it. Yeah. And I don't have to do any taxes, anything like that. And then if they want to come audit you or whatever, like, you know,
For me, I just have I set it up one time. I haven't touched it since. I have a lady I pay $20 a month to, you know, send $20 from here to that account. That's it. So it's extremely easy. It's extremely cheap. Versus if you want to get like an EU citizenship, you have to buy like a very expensive property, or you have to claim something in terms of like family who was once from there. If you wanted to relocate to Kiev, it's not a difficult process. It will take you about a month. You can do it in 25 days. Like if you come here, you spend 2 months here, and you want to stay, you could start that process at the end of the second month, and before you had to leave on the third month, you would be finished and you'd be able to stay. I'm trying to think. So we talked about the taxes, talked about the girls. Let's compare it to another place where digital nomads like to relocate, like Thailand or Bali.
Thailand, yeah.
So I think this is head and shoulders better. I've been to those places.
I've been to Thailand. I don't know. Like obviously the girls' issues are the main concern.
All the hot girls you'll see in Thailand and Bali are from Ukraine and Russia.
So as far as that, if you like to chase skirts like we do, it's not a place for you.
You're competing against really good looking, tall, buffed Aussie guys because it's really close to Australia, and they are the toughest competition in the world.
Yeah.
Hairy Jews like us,
there's not many girls there. The ones that are there are not pretty.
The locals,
the only pretty girls are the lady boys, which is, I don't know, if you're into that, then you've got nothing to look for in Ukraine, but
right, don't come here.
Well, the beach, I don't know. I think the beach is a kind of vacation thing. Like 2-3 times a year is more than enough to go to the beach.
Well, there's a stupid cliche that's definitely sold to like the American consumer. Like, go to Thailand, sit on the beach on your laptop, code from there, be an internet,
You can't sit on the beach.
Be a blogger, be a, you know.
You can't sit and code on the beach because the weather is really hot and really humid. And
they just have this, like, I had this image burned in my brain of staying in really nice
paradise,
hut, you know, coding on the beach, meeting some cool girl at night. It's nonsense. Like, it doesn't happen. You're spending a lot of money. First of all, the internet's usually horrible.
Yeah.
You can't get internet on the beach typically. it's significantly more expensive than here.
Yeah.
The food is very hit or miss.
Good places like every place, good places and bad places.
Right.
As into here, you have only, I haven't had a restaurant that I said, hey, this is not good.
Right.
I've never, just walking by, like going to a restaurant, never had that. Every time it was like, it was good.
I don't feel nearly as safe there as I do here. Not that it's really dangerous or anything, but I don't know, it just seems a little bit more sketchy over there. In terms of being able to stay, I don't really know how that works there. There's a lot of people that are digital nomads and they've got to do these visa runs where they fly from Thailand, then they go to China, and then they come back for a day because they have some funky things. Overall, sure. It's just more expensive, and the girls are 100 times worse.
And so, if you want to be on a beach, you can do 3 times or 4 times a year.
They've got the best beaches in Kiev.
Yeah.
On the Dnipro River.
Exactly.
It's warm. You can wakeboard in it.
Something that nobody knows. There's so many beaches here. There's more beaches here in the city of Kiev, where there's no sea, than I think in Israel altogether.
And there's sandy beaches too.
Sandy,
really
beaches,
nice beaches.
Like
beach if you like clubs. To surf, you can't do that. But you can wake surf,
yeah.
Which is better than surfing, in my opinion, yeah. Behind a boat yeah. For 50 yeah. bucks for 2 hours.
Ski-doos, there's not yeah. Ski-doos in the wind. I don't know. I'm thinking about it now. I'm a genius. That I'm
yeah.
<It's>
great. So, yeah, if you want to live here, if you want to visit, for sure visit.
Visiting is a must.
If you're a young guy who's working for a tech company, you don't have a family, and you want to start one, you'd be absolutely insane for not coming. Yeah. Like, mind-bogglingly, the quality of girl you're going to be able to get, the lifestyle you're going to be able to live here versus in anywhere in the West, it's not even on the same fucking
level. You're not playing the same game. It's a totally yeah. different game. It's not even in the ballpark.
That's, and it's not like you come here and you say, hey, I'm American, and the girls drop their pants. Like, that's not what happens. It's not that at all.
It's a pretty open country. Girls seen here. Girls here have seen... troubled, seeing the foreigners. There's quite a few foreigners here, actually.
Yeah, Ukrainian girls are like human lie detectors.
Yeah,
they're very smart. The sexual culture here is way less Puritan than it is in like the U.S. Casual sex isn't a huge deal. It's kind of a little bit of a conservative Christian, you know, culture.
Ever since the porn websites became free, it's just like
the quality of it is amazing.
Feminism has not hit here.
I don't think it will. They laugh at feminism. They think
feminism is stupid.
The girls think feminism is stupid. Why would they do that?
I think right now, like in the West, we've gone way past the point of normal. And I'm not going to go on a diatribe about that. But, you know, I think if this is normal, the U.S. is like over here.
Yeah.
Kiev, Ukraine is like somewhere here. And eventually, you know, we'll go a little bit that way and the rest of the West will come back to normal,
yeah.
Which isn't a whole lot different than what's going on now. So
we're not gonna touch that because this is a totally
exactly
different topic.
Exactly.
Politics and geopolitics, and we'll talk about it in a different one. We'll make a special podcast for that.
Yeah. But you know, if you come, just to give guys reasonable expectations, like guys want to come, they want to know, like, am I gonna, you know, hook up that the weekend I come, or how am I gonna do? So let's compare like Tinder in the West versus Tinder in Kiev.
Well, I quit Tinder because it's just like,
yeah. I haven't used Tinder in 2 years.
It's just too much. It's just like your system is overloading. It's like blah, 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 blah. Like there's girls like that you see on like these magazines in the West, and they're like in the centerfold. They're just here on Tinder looking to go on a date. And there's so many of them, and there's like it never ends, and it's like I quit because it's just like it's like error.
There's a lot of girls willing that love to date foreigners on Tinder.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. Some of them just want to go out for a free dinner, but those ones are
and
easy to
what?
Spot.
And,
yeah, exactly. It's not
what?
That big of a deal.
And then what? You pay
the dinner
one costs
third. $25.
You pay yeah. one third of what you would pay in thing. You would sit and be seen and like be in the company of like the most beautiful girl that you ever seen in your life. You would have a conversation, and then what? She had a free.
You guys always worry that some scam is going to happen. The scams that they talk about are the guys who get on these lesser known, and they usually happen to like old, fat, ugly, weird guys. They'll go on these sites and they'll see this like menu of girls, and they'll think they'll be chatting with that girl, but it's really like a girl in a call center who's chatting on behalf of
or
like
a guy
30
in
of those
call
girls.
Center or
right.
a bot now even.
And then those girls will try to convince the guy to send gifts and to help out. Oh, my brother's sick. My dad's in the hospital.
I help. But I think it's not only here. I think it's all over the
it's
world.
It's everywhere. But
so
a lot of guys.
Somebody's asking yeah. you to send you money. Like,
yeah.
You know, unless you're bored and like, you know.
Those scams happen when you're outside of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Right. When and some also guys.
Also, I've seen a few of those. The girl says, "Oh, like, you know, I wanna come hang out, but like, send me, I don't have money for taxi, so send me like 200 hryvnias for taxi."
And she doesn't show up in your house. She says,
"Well, yeah, I know better than sending money to somebody that come see you."
Or right.
Like it's stupid. But these guys, what they do is they have like, you know, they talk to 100 people like that, and they, you know, they convince 20% of them, and 20% of them pay, and like it's like a business. It's,
numbers game, yeah.
Yeah, numbers game. Yeah. But anyway, Kiev or not Kiev, you shouldn't send money to a girl to come see you. It's if where? She yeah. wants to, she will. She needs to find at least a capper, like straight up.
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, just in terms of online dating, I mean, everything you can boil it down to the ratio. The ratio is so much better here. It makes everything a million times easier. Just like the opposite is true in San Francisco. The ratio is shit there. It's all dudes. It's rich guys, tech guys from Silicon Valley. Everything's way more expensive. The girls' standards go through the roof. Here, the guys' standards go through the roof, and the girls, like, doll themselves up and make up, you know, do everything because they have to be competitive because it's a – it's a supply-demand.
Supply and demand. Yeah.
Due to that, right, like women are way more open to casual relationships. They're more open to
Get some sex. they're not even hoping for the regular right. sex.
So if you're a young guy who wants to sow your wild oats, like, I mean, there's no place better. Also, if you're looking for something more substantial and like, you know, Ukrainian women are amazing. They're very feminine. They're very caring. They're smart.
They would cook clean. Like I had a girl that I just met yesterday here, and you know what? We watched some movies. Blah blah blah. She woke up in the morning. She made me breakfast. She cleaned.
That's why the place is so clean.
Yeah, it was great. But they have this education. What do you call it? This culture of like, you know, being a good home. Homemaker kind of thing, right? Because again, it's supply and demand, if you ask me. So, you know, if you're not all that, then you don't stand a chance of getting a man, right? So they know how to clean. All of them know how to cook.
Yeah.
All of them know how to clean. Of course, there's the girls that don't need to do that because they're always partying or whatever.
Yeah.
But mainly, as a regular Ukrainian girl would cook and clean. Even the first day she meets you, in Israel she would wreck your house,
yeah,
you know, demand money for the taxi,
or ask to order Postmates or Uber Eats take out from expensive restaurant. Right. Forget about cleaning. Yeah, she would you know, throw a knife at you if you even insinuated that maybe she could help clean.
You ask her to help clean, you will get a. You get a fork in your forehead. Who the hell do you think you are?
So, you know, in my opinion, you know, I think the best way to meet girls anywhere is just talking to them on the street. There's girls everywhere on the street, but any sort of avenue to meet women here works. You can do it online. You can do it in. If you go to bars and clubs, the ratio is really in your favor.
I talked to my bank one time and I started talking to this girl. I met a girl. Like there was one girl we working in my branch of my bank branch, and like, you know, like she's like smiling this and that. I'm like, okay, well, what are you doing tonight? Let's go hang out. Like, all right, yeah, I'll bring a girlfriend. I'm like, great. But it's everywhere. You can't. You shouldn't have, you know, say in Canada there used to be Tinder, for example. So guys sit exclusively on Tinder and look on Tinder, and this is their source of thing. Here you shouldn't, like, you even shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't waste your time.
Yeah. You shouldn't waste your time on Tinder, but also not being in one place. So you can talk to a girl on Instagram, you can talk to a girl on the street, you can talk to the girl at your local bank, at your local store. At nighttime at the club, at a restaurant,
You will run up to 10 girls and just say in English, "Hey, you're really beautiful. Can I have your Instagram?" You'll probably end up with 2 dates.
More, bro.
You think more? I mean, if you're good looking, if you're well dressed, if you're confident, maybe 4 or 5. But if you're like a schlub who's not that great,
I think we're talking about the average programmer who doesn't have a ton of time. I think you're still at five.
Yeah, if you have the balls to do that, which takes nothing. Like, just that's it. That's the whole script.
Hi, I'm Yoni. How are you?
Yeah.
How's your day going?
Can I get your Instagram? I got to run.
Yeah. By the way, this works like a charm because it's not personal enough, like a phone number. And she gets followers, so she's interested in giving you her Instagram anyways.
She follows you back.
Yeah.
You know, then, your Instagram is halfway decent. You don't have, like...
Don't even need to be decent. I know guys that don't even... In their Instagram, there's not one picture, and their thing is not a... Like, you know, in the roundy thing, it's not even their picture. There's no pictures, but they're just, you know...
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
There's lots of guys like that.
Of course. You got three photos on there, and that's it. You know... Three decent photos, but the last thing we didn't objection that we didn't cover was the language barrier.
Yeah.
So, do you speak Russian?
Now I do. When I first moved here, I didn't have any idea, and I was actually even a little bit anti the language. Mm-hmm. But the language barrier here is exists. Yeah, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, but at the same time. The way I see it, look, if people want to do business with you, or a girl wants to hang out with you, or whatever, you will always find a way of communicating. They generally, what I feel is that when you, let's say it's me and you, we only speak English, and we're hanging out with two girls, they would speak English. As soon as there's one guy one guy that speaks Russian, they would like only speak Russian. It's their mental, like they're shy, they're ashamed of speaking
English. A lot of women speaking English decent here, but they're
very
embarrassed.
Shy, embarrassed. Yeah, shy. Exactly.
Even though their English is great.
Yeah.
So they'll definitely speak English to you, especially if you're on a date.
Yeah.
For me, when I first moved here, the guy who I was staying with, my buddy, he's like, yeah, don't bother to learn Russian. It's a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. So I listened to that bad advice, which set me back about 9 months. And then I was like, listen, it's kind of out of cultural respect. I should, if I'm going to live here, I should learn the language. And
no, because the language makes it helpful. So much easier.
It's definitely easier. I don't think it's going to make the difference between having an amazing life here, or even finding an amazing girlfriend or wife, won't change anything. But just in terms of
it opens
a whole new world
once
you can speak
definitely.
It.
Now I see the difference, even just like by going shopping somewhere, asking about something. You know, once you don't speak the language, it's like you have to explain, you have to like do the pantomime and like go and thing. Here, you just walk in, just like, oh, I want a wallet. And that's it. It's like it saves a lot of time and a lot of.
And I'm a guy who. I like studied Spanish growing up. It was forced on me, you know, growing up in Southern California. 12 years of Spanish, K-12. I don't remember hardly any Spanish. And I always had it in my head, it's impossible for me to learn a language. When I came here, I was like, Russian, that's a difficult language. And I've had a tutor now since January, September, and I'm fluent enough like a four-year-old. I can have a stupid basic conversation. But, you know, even someone who thinks they're the worst at language, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
No, it's a lot easier also when you live in the country and everybody around you speaks the language. It's a lot easier than sitting there in California and learning Spanish or Russian or whatever, right? Because here
you're not immersed.
It's a daily thing. You can go to the grocery store, you can start try speaking and try putting one word in, then another, then so on and so on. It's a lot easier to when you're in the whole environment. When you swim in it, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot easier when you jump and swim than just like theoretical language learning.
Yeah.
And for me, it's been 3 years of studying. I didn't tell anybody, but I had a tutor from almost like the first week.
You even lied to me. You said, oh, I don't waste time. And then the next week, you're fucking speaking fluent Russian.
Like behind closed doors, I was listening. I was watching Russian movies, the movies that I knew by heart, like. Wolf of Wall Street, or the war movies that I watched like 50 times in English, and I already know what they're gonna say. So I would sit there and watch it in Russian, and not for the sense of learning words, but in the sense of getting accustomed to hearing the language and knowing when to make the because the biggest problem for me was I didn't know when they stopped to, when somebody speaks to you fluently, you don't know where the word starts or ends because you're not comfortable with it. But once
it just sounds like
one thing. Yeah. That's where you don't understand most of it. But once you do know to break down where it starts and when you're comfortable with how they talk, and then you all of a sudden realize that a lot of words are similar, especially like those, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of words that maybe the ending is different, but they're similar. Once you know how to break it down, you understand that it's becoming very fast and very, very easy to understand what they're saying. And that was, I think, the first year I was understanding like 70%, 67% of what people was talking. And then the second year, I got to almost 80, 85%. And the third year right now in the quarantine, I just basically started talking because I was, you know, hanging out at home with five girls, three of them don't speak any English. And I just push started the whole process. Mm-hmm. And now after a year of that, I'm pretty sure I'm like pretty.
No, the girls I say, wow, Biani speaks great Russian.
Yeah.
So I'm working towards it. Slow process, slowly but surely. So, you know, you don't need the language. If you're going to make, you know, Ukraine home, obviously, I think you should learn it. What about Ukrainian versus Russian?
Oh, man. We're 100% Ukraine here. We don't like Russian. But here, actually, the most common language is Russian.
Yeah. So it does make more sense to learn Russian. Yeah.
When I had a tutor at first, I wanted to learn Ukrainian because, you know, I thought it was the common sense was learning Ukrainian, but realistically here Russian is a lot more spoken and everybody speaks Russian. Everybody also speaks Ukrainian, but more common people speak Ukrainian.
Russian.
But at the same time, Ukrainian is a much nicer language. It's such a beautiful language. It's like heart melting. It's like when they speak Ukrainian, it just sounds beautiful. Russian sounds terrible. Like,
so what about, is there any stigma of guys coming over here from the West as like a sex tourist or an expat? You find anything like that?
Yeah, of course. There's a lot of like, look, when a guy's a sex tourist, you cannot like, you know, like.
Maybe you try to come here for a weekend and you act like an asshole. Yeah. Like a British sex tourist who's coming and getting drunk and stumbling around the streets.
Everybody owes you something, and the girls, if she goes with you for dinner, that she owes to, she needs to go with you and have whatever thing. You can tell these people from like walking down the street, and you can tell like this guy's a sex tourist because they're like very hungry and like grabbing everybody like
they're gross.
Yeah, it's don't act like that.
Don't be that guy.
Terrible. Yeah, you might get laid. Yeah, like, you know, like you will ask 100 girls, 20 of them will sleep with you because you're very grubby and very like, you will offer them money. And this is another stigma that people think here that will come and they will just basically offer any girl any money and she will go with them. This is also, don't do this. This is
idiotic.
Disgusting. Even for yourself, forget about the thing, but.
Have some self-respect.
Exactly. Like, and girls here, don't jump on any money. Girls here, don't jump on you if you bought a bottle of vodka at the club.
You have to have some game here, you know, to do well. You have to have some game.
If you have
no game in America and you think you're going to come to Ukraine and have like...
You're going to have automatically game, like, maybe 20% more game.
Right.
But it's not going to make you a player overnight.
Exactly.
But also, just be human. People here are very nice people. People here are very welcoming and very nice. The girls here will talk to you no matter what. She's not gonna be a bitch to you like in the West, pretty much anywhere in the West. You come up to a girl and try to talk to her, and she will be like very rude and stuff.
In a bar, a nightclub, girls are very friendly. You know, the only time you're gonna get that reaction maybe is on the street if she's busy or on the phone, but even then it's rare.
No way. Yeah. In general, mm-hmm. And I'm sure some girls will be rude to somebody at some point, but
right.
In general, girls here, even if her boyfriend sits somewhere in the club and he's looking at her, she's gonna say, "I'm sorry, I have a boyfriend." Like, you know, like, and my apology, she will apologize for that thing. So don't be grabby. Don't be.
The other nice thing too is the women are more direct here. So where in the U.S. or in Canada, in the West, if they don't like you, a lot of the time, because they're so polite, they'll talk to you and take your number, and then they'll just ghost you. Make plans, ghost you, and you won't know why. And versus here, women will be like, sorry, I'm not interested.
Let's talk. Or like,
They don't mind rejecting a guy, but they do it with class.
Yeah. There's less. We can't say that everybody's like that, but in general, yeah. The girl says, well, why would I waste my time? Like, why would I give him my number? I'm not interested. Like, thank you very much. I'm sorry. She would say, so she would be very nice about it, mm-hmm. but also not fake and like, whatever.
Yeah. So, if you guys aren't sold on Ukraine now, I don't know what it would take.
Well, like from my experience, when we started with, we can talk to them for 10 days and saying how amazing it is and talking about experiences and wow, wow, wow. But until you get here, until you walk on the street here, until you go to a restaurant here, and until you go to a club or whatever makes your fancy.
You want
to
drive a tank and shoot the gun? Yeah. You can do that too.
Until you come here, you're not gonna understand what we're talking about. You're gonna say, yeah, it's a great place. Yeah, it's basically it's like Budapest, a little bit nicer. But once you come here, I don't know anybody. Honestly, I'm not over-exaggerating. I don't know anybody that didn't come here and fall in love with this place on different levels. Wanting to come and live here, or like wanting to come here twice a year, or I don't know any people that said. That came here, hung out, and said, well, okay, it was cool. It's not a place that I would like to come back one day. You know? Like Greece or something
like that. My parents loved it. Absolutely loved it.
My sister with her baby daughter, like, loved it here. She loves coming out here for vacation. It's great.
Yeah, it's really, I would say, the most underrated place maybe in the world, especially if you're a man. 100% hands down. So if anyone does want to come, you guys want some help, we'll drop some links below this interview. And
we'll try to help.
We'll make sure you guys get taken care of. And we'll drop our Instagrams, other contact info there too.
Yeah.
So thanks, man. It's been fun.
We'll do this again. And about the last video that we did with the crappy voice. I hope this is going to be...
maybe they'll never see that one. Yeah, well, if it's up there, then you can watch it. It's totally different. It's totally different.
It's different. Yeah. A little bit of thing, but hopefully the voice is much better this time.
That's up. All right. See ya.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.